If you haven't met Greg, you really should. He is quite the character. Hey, welcome to Adventure. My name is BJ. I'm the lead pastor here at Adventure, and we're in a series called Who Are We? A series where we're looking at our culture points, which are basically just a series of values that define us and how we operate. And this week, we're taking a look at authentic community. An authentic community, the definition of those words is just this: authentic, meaning real or genuine, not fake, and community, a group of people with common interests, ideas, and locality. Authentic community is the value of us as believers coming together, growing together, and doing life together, on mission together. I was thinking about just kind of times where I felt really connected to a community, you know, where I had this really close group, and immediately my mind went to a number of years ago in a youth team. I was a youth pastor here, and we had an amazing youth team, and it was fun just to reflect and think back to all the things that we did. A lot of things were really serious, and we had some crazy things that we accomplished, and then there were some other things that were just kind of random. And one of those things was we decided... this was about 4 years ago. Do you guys remember the first, that kind of the reboot of the Star Trek series? It came out about 4 years ago, and we found out this movie was coming out, and we decided that it would be fun to kind of mess with the Trekkies, all right? So if you don't know, if you're not familiar with the term Trekkie, that's like a Star Trek fan, right? So we decided it would be fun to mess with them, so we decided to show up to the opening night of Star Trek dressed as Star Wars characters. Right, so this is kind of like a, you know, that's something you shouldn't do, but we decided to go ahead and do it just because we thought it'd be fun. And one of the great things about this particular group of people is they were incredibly talented, just ridiculously creative. We were all so different, gifted in so many different ways. And you might ask, like, why in the world would you do that? And I think there was part of us that, you know, just because we knew we could. You know, there was this group, and I don't remember who came up with the crazy idea, but we wanted to see if we could pull it off. And so immediately we began construction on a massive Jabba the Hutt costume, which is basically kind of like this giant slug creature. And we had probably about 15 of us that showed up to this movie theater on the opening night of Star Trek dressed as Star Wars characters. And it actually was received pretty well. I wasn't sure if we'd get attacked or, you know, booed out, but no, the response was pretty positive. So this isn't a great picture, but this is us. This is at the Galaxy Theater in Monroe. I don't know if you can see the Jabba the Hutt there in the middle, but we had Jabba the Hutt, Princess Leia. And the funny part is we put, you know, I don't even know, hours and hours and hours into the construction of this, you know, Jabba the Hutt costume. And it's massive. You can't really see the full extent of it, but it had like a moving tail. And I mean, it was all part of this wood construction frame. And we actually had to use the box truck to move it, to get it to the theater. But then we got to this point where we're like, all of it was done and it was over. And we went and watched the movie, and it actually turned out to be a pretty good movie. But after that, we're like, now what do we do with this giant Jabba the Hutt costume that we put a bunch of money into? And, you know, I mean, it was like, I don't know, probably like three different queen-size mattresses worth of foam put into the construction of this, a bunch of 2x4s and all kinds of random things. And so the plant, it ended up in Scott's garage for a little while, and then eventually we just kind of took it out into the woods and left it there. So now there's some, you know, mysterious Jabba the Hutt, and I've always imagined what in the world would happen if you were like hiking and you came across that, you know, like what kind of reaction? But we didn't think about that until after, but we kind of left it in the woods behind Scott's house. But this group of friends was, as the youth team, we came together and we were united around a common mission of, you know, serving the youth of this community. And in that community and on mission together, we overcame a lot of challenges together. Challenges of the ministry and challenges even relationally as we continue to work things out. And then we celebrated together, and that's what this was. It was just a fun celebration of the friendship and community that we had. And I think that idea of being on mission together is quite possibly one of the most important principles of authentic community. And it's one that's often missed. I mean, what's the difference between a group of friends you know, that stays together and that's united versus one that doesn't. And honestly, most of the time it comes down to being on mission together. And when I say on mission together, I don't mean just kind of this theoretical, we are all believers and we have a shared mission. I mean actually doing something. I mean doing the work of Jesus, being on mission, having a task. If you think about it, like, you build relationship even with friends as, you know, that are coworkers. It's because part of working together, part of accomplishing something together is what unites you. And in the Christian community, having an authentic community, it requires that. It requires that we're working together towards a common goal. And if I reflect back on all the different friendships that I've had over the years, the ones that I'm still friends with, even if they've moved away, are largely the ones that we accomplished things together. Specifically, like those relationships that I built while on mission, specifically sharing the gospel or serving the community or, you know, doing something to advance the kingdom of God, those are the strongest relationships I have to this day. And if you've ever been on a mission trip, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because there's something amazing about a mission trip. You know, all the high schoolers, it's amazing how fast you build relationships on a mission trip. You take this group of people that honestly has a hard time getting along, you know, on a regular week, and then you put them in kind of like all these tight quarters and pack them on, you know, a plane and go through a bunch of challenges in the airport and hope that nobody gets pulled over by TSA, and you get in the country and you're doing all this stuff and you all get really sick together, and, you know, then you're way too close and you have a bunch of challenges, and then you come back and all of a sudden these people that you're with even for 2 weeks are now closer than family. It's that same thing. You know, we joke about it, you know, even as leaders, just because oftentimes there's this, you know, missionary relationship. You know, like after a mission trip, it's like we're always talking to the students saying, okay, like now don't pair up, okay? We know you're close and we know that you spent a lot of time and you really enjoy each other, but don't pair up and get in this relationship. But there's this value that an authentic community is one that's on mission together. Acts 2:42-44. So the context of this passage before I read it is this is right after Pentecost, which is a time when the apostles, or basically the disciples, had an amazing encounter with the Holy Spirit, and they were able to get up and share the gospel to thousands of people. And in an amazing work of the Holy Spirit, everyone who was there, even who didn't speak those languages, was able to hear in their own language, hear the gospel clearly. And thousands respond. And this is what happens immediately after that, is what happens here. This is what's described in Acts 2:42-44. And then I'm going to take a little jump to verse 47. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles. This is all the believers, the people that had just accepted Christ. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Then jump to verse 47. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, what's significant about this particular passage is Acts chapter 2 represents essentially the birth of the Christian church. Now, up to this point, we have to remember that the revelation of Scripture is there's a progress, there's a timeline to it. And so at this point, there's not any programmatic element to the church. This is the birth of the Christian church. They don't have any formal meetings, they haven't established any formal pastors or elders. Now, God will lead them to do that, and it doesn't take too long for that to happen, even in the book of Acts, but that hasn't happened here. But immediately, the believer's first response is to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, breaking of bread and to prayer. And it's that uniting factor for the community. It's the power of Jesus. They're transformed, and the first thing they want to do is come together and be on mission together. And so immediately they respond, and they sell their possessions and they meet the needs of the poor. They come and they meet together every day in the temple courts, and they're sharing the gospel with other people. And they're on mission together. That's the first response. Every day they do that. And it says day by day they come together in the temple courts and they learn more and study the apostles' teaching. And then they immediately respond by going into their homes and eating together. And that's the very first thing that the church does together. And I love that community that's demonstrated here. The first thing that the church does is experience authentic community. Coming together, eating together, and celebrating, and studying God's word together, and on mission together. But it's not, their faith isn't just going to church, though that's kind of what you could say is, you know, when they meet in the temple courts, that's kind of like their church early on. But that's not all that they do. James 2:18 says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" So they're not just meeting together and eating food together. That's definitely part of it, but they're on mission together. They're reaching out to the people in the temple courts. They're selling their things. If we go on in Acts, even again in Acts chapter 4, it says there was a group of people in need, and they didn't have possessions, and they were struggling, and so countless believers are selling their things and then providing and giving to everyone who has need. They're working together, and they're taking action. And this is an important part of our faith, because we can't just say I'm on mission in the theoretical sense as a believer. Yes, we are all on mission. We all are to make disciples, but that requires an action. It's not enough to just say, yes, this is my faith. It requires movement on our part. And it's in that movement that we experience this authentic community. Have you ever experienced just how fast you can build relationships when you go and serve someone? It's hard to describe if you haven't done it. It's hard to describe how fast you can build relationships and camaraderie with the people you're working with, and even those who you're serving. I can think of tons of different service projects that we've done over the years. I remember one time we were trying to raise money for a summer camp. And all the money that we were going to raise was for scholarships to send students to summer camp that weren't able to go. And so a group of us decided we were going to go do some yard work. And I didn't know these particular people super well. But we all had this same mission. We were going to go do it together. And we went, and we went over to these people's house, and we were doing yard work and helping out. And it was hard work. It was really hard work. And a lot of us, you know, weren't super experienced in what we were doing. But it was amazing how fast we had this camaraderie and built relationship together, just in serving. And I was so impacted, and so was everyone else, by that experience and by watching the people, the family that was being where we were doing yard work. And then they again joined us and said, when they gave us the money, they knew why we were collecting money. It's an amazing experience to experience that kind of community. An authentic community is one that's on mission together. But it can't all be serious, though. In fact, it's never really meant to be that, or always serious. Second point is that an authentic community celebrates together. And that's an important part, is the joy that we have together. Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Now, the context of this passage in Romans, the Romans are basically arguing over what food they should and shouldn't eat, what's safe to eat. And that's why it says the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, right? But the whole point that he's saying is that, you know, it's not just about those details or even what you guys are arguing about. It's the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we see this idea of joy and celebration take place throughout Scripture. I shared a little bit last night. If you weren't able to join us, last night we were celebrating our 12th anniversary as a church. And one of the reasons that we wanted to take time to celebrate that is we see this example in the Old Testament. In Leviticus, Basically, the Israelites are given this list of feasts or celebrations, festivals from the Lord. And these were things that they were basically instructed, commanded by God to do. They were supposed to have a feast for Passover and unleavened bread and first fruits and the festival of weeks or Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and even one beyond this that you're familiar with the Jewish community is Hanukkah. But God instructed them essentially to party. He says, hey, this is an important part, not just for the purpose of partying, but to celebrate intentionally. Celebrate what God has done. You know, the idea of celebrating the first fruits is look what God has done. Let's rejoice with the God of the harvest and give back to him and celebrate and recognize and praise his goodness. And that's an important part of a community is if we don't have that opportunity to celebrate the victories, then we're not really experiencing authentic community. I think this is a great example because, you know, in the work environment, if all of our time is on mission and we're accomplishing task after task after task, that gets pretty tiring. And it's the reason why a lot of work relationships never go beyond just that. They never get to this point of authentic community because you and I change when we're having fun together. People relax and they let their guard down. And when we're celebrating, you get to see that and you get to experience people in a different way because some people are pretty intense when they're on their goal. And you get to see, wow, they're a totally different person when they're having fun and they're relaxing and they're celebrating. Acts, if we go back to the Acts chapter 2 passage, this is, I think it starts in verse 45 through 47. It says, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. While leading youth ministry a number of years ago, we recognized this principle that, you know, we wanted to have solid biblical teaching and we wanted to have time together. But if there wasn't a celebration, if there wasn't some sort of sealing moment where we said, this is what God has done, let's remember together and let's mark it in the sand and say, yes, God is good and here's what he's done, then a lot of the transformation that we saw seemed to just kind of slide under the radar. And so we ended every unit with this big celebration. The words we used were a rite of passage. But we would have, this big event, we'd finish a unit and we'd come together and have this big celebration. And there would be this point where we had this really serious kind of mark of transition. Here, look, let's celebrate what God has done. But a lot of that event was also just fun. It was the celebration of who God is. And this is why we had the party last night. I mean, really, like this is why. And as I thought about the last 12 years of Adventure's history and we were praying about what we were going to do, I'm like, man, I just want to party. I want to celebrate with you guys. I want to celebrate what God has done because we've overcome a lot. If you were unable to join us last night, we had Silk Road Swing and we had Taproot Theater, and it was a blast just watching many of you be volunteers and yanked up on stage, and we got to enjoy Susan and Maddie trying to participate in something, which was a lot of fun. But that celebration, an authentic community is one that celebrates together. That's an important piece of community, but we don't come together to celebrate nothing. Here's our anniversary. We don't come together to celebrate nothing. We come together to celebrate what we've overcome. And that's an important part of community too, is overcoming challenges together. Have you ever noticed that the greatest movies and stories that we like are the ones that have a challenge to overcome? The heroes overcome something. You know, there's lots of great movies of all kinds of different styles, but the ones that really move me are the ones that have the heroes face something significant they need to overcome. And there's this moment where you wonder, man, how are they going to do that? And we've talked about this a lot at Adventure, that the reason that that resonates with us in our heart is because that reflects our story. Ephesians 6:12, you guys should be familiar with it because it was one of our memory verses, but it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We have an enemy. And in our world, in our lives, we're facing that. We're facing challenges. And overcoming that together, we need each other. You know, all of us long to have a fellowship of the rings, right? If you're not familiar with the Lord of the Rings series, there's this band of people that come together to help the hero carry the ring to kind of the end of the story, the climax of the story. And we all have this desire and to go through life and overcome challenges together. And the reality is we desperately need each other. We desperately need each other. And authentic community is, it recognizes that. Authentic community is a community that overcomes challenges together. And those challenges sometimes are not just external, sometimes they're even internal. If I'm part of an authentic community, it means that you know the real me, which means that when we face a challenge or there's even a disagreement, you know my heart. You know how I really feel about you. You know how, and I know how you really feel about me. And that helps us to overcome any challenges we would face. We share those struggles together and we're one mind. That passage in Acts 2 celebrates kind of the birth of the church. And they're coming together and there's just tons of joy. It says in that passage that thousands in one day accepted Christ and came together. And they're just coming together and they're meeting in the temple courts. Imagine the joy of that experience, being there and you're the disciples and God has told you to go and you share the gospel and all of a sudden thousands of people with which you can't even communicate because you don't know their language, amazingly hear because of the power of the Holy Spirit the gospel clearly, and they accept and respond. And now you are one of the disciples, and you look around, and thousands of people are now in your care. And they're coming to you saying, teach us more about this Jesus. Tell us more about what we are to do and how we are to respond. Man, how crazy would that be? As believers, we celebrate when people accept Christ, and sometimes we've had experiences where many people have responded, but I can't even imagine the joy they experienced when just thousands came. And I'm sure they were just kind of living high each day, coming together and just celebrating and getting to know each other, and people are selling their things, and everything's going great. And I'm sure in that moment, they're like, man, it can't get any better than this. If you read Acts chapter 2, it ends on this high note. It ends with them celebrating and giving everything together. And it's not long in Acts, only a couple chapters later, that people are dying for their faith. Acts chapter 7 is all about, Stephen or Stephen being essentially martyred for his faith. And even before then, there's all kinds of challenges internally. Ananias and Sapphira are holding back their gifts. And that's all happening. There's this conflict internally and also externally in the church. But as a community, they're coming together. They're experiencing this authentic community, and they're overcoming these challenges together. And out of that is the birth of the church. And overcoming challenges represents movement. It represents forward progress. And we know that we're growing together when we face those challenges and we overcome it. And there are few things in life that help us to build relationship, true deep relationship, than facing those challenges together and saying, hey, look, we did it. And that's why we get to celebrate, because we faced the challenge and we overcame it. And these challenges, in Acts, they're selling their possessions to provide a meal, or they're facing persecution. And for all of us, we have faced all kinds of challenges. As a church, transferring of leadership, and even financial struggles and all kinds of things, but we're overcoming those together. Not too long ago, Jeff and I faced a challenge that neither of us were really prepared for. We knew we had to face this situation, and it was something that neither of us had a whole lot of experience. We were pretty intimidated by it, and we came together kind of with this, okay, like, we're going to do this. And I had a lot of confidence in the fact that we were doing it together, because I didn't have a whole lot of confidence with how to handle this particular situation. And so we came together, and, you know, we left to go face this challenge, and we prayed together. And I remember in that experience, there's so many times where I didn't know what to say, and God gave him the right words, and he didn't know what to say, and God gave me the right words. And there was time where both of us knew what to say, and God just did the right thing. And as we faced this challenge together, I remember we got back, and immediately I was just overcome with this joy. You know, this unity. And Jeff and I have been friends for years, and we've worked together for years. But facing this challenge, I mean, this was not a minor thing. This was something really significant. We even joked, and we're like, well, we can check that off our bucket list of things that, you know, now that we've accomplished this. And I was so moved just in that experience that I couldn't help but just look at Jeff, and I'm like, Jeff, I'm so glad that you're here doing this with me. Because honestly, I couldn't imagine doing it without you. And, you know, it's that's real community. That's authentic community, is overcoming challenges together and being a family. Because an authentic community is a community that overcomes together. Our three points are this. An authentic community is on mission together, celebrates together, and overcomes together. Here at Adventure, you know, kind of some application points for us. We're in authentic community right now. And part of being on mission together is we're stepping into home groups. That's the mission that we are facing. And the goal is to try to reach our community through our home groups, to provide an atmosphere and an environment that we can invite people to. That's different than a Sunday morning. It's us going deeper and having a real relationship together and inviting people. And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, there's lists in the back to sign up for home groups. Get plugged in. Be on mission together. Experience the authentic community that's available, not just here on Sunday morning, but going beyond that and experiencing it in the homes and doing it together. And this is why I shared with you, authentic community is more than just coming together as believers. We've been talking with the home group leaders now. We've been we had several kind of leadership training for the last kind of month and a half. And each week we're talking a lot about what's the mission that these home groups will accomplish. And so we've talked a lot about how we want to encourage each home group to have kind of these targets or these goals or these outreach projects. And you guys are being invited into that. In your home group, your leaders are going to bring up this topic and say, okay, what are we doing to serve our community? What are we doing to reach our neighbors? And you as a team get to decide, okay, what's the mission that God is leading us? What's the direction that we are going to take to reach our community? Because an authentic community is on mission together. We also shared that the content will be aligned with Sunday morning. And so starting in January, we've talked about our James series. We're going to align our home group content with that. But up until that point, we really want to focus on celebrating together. And so what that looks like is in our home groups, over the next several weeks, we're going to have an opportunity to celebrate what God has done in your story. And so if you join a home group right now, what you're going to experience is you're going to be in a home group and you're going to get the opportunity to just hear people's stories and share your story. And that's of all ages. So the kids will get an opportunity to share, you'll get an opportunity to share, and the leaders will guide you through that, because there's a part of getting to know you is celebrating together and having fun. And so I hope your home group is fun. And if it's not, bring fun to that. And then lastly, an authentic community is one that overcomes together. Those of you who are members know that we planted a church in March of this last year. The church is called the Ridge Church. It was planted by Jerry and Cindy Griffin. It is going phenomenal on the Ridge. They're doing very well. The church is very healthy, and that's largely because of this body of Christ being willing to make sacrifices and to plant that church. And we support that church on a monthly basis, and will continue to do so over the next 3 years is our commitment to them. But whenever you plant a church, there are challenges, there are sacrifices, right? Because we want to be able to send people. We want to say, yes, Lord, we're going to take a risk. We're going to step out and honor you. And so when we did that, it was also at a challenging time for adventure. And so financially, we had to make up the difference for those 50 people that we sent. And so I shared with you as the members that during that time around May, we decided to make some pay cuts. And so basically each one of the staff took a voluntary pay cut of about 20%. And that was a challenge that we faced together. But the reason that we came together and we were able to do that was because we believe in the mission. And we're overcoming those challenges together. And so I'm excited to share with you as the body of Christ and as kind of members of this church that as of the first of this month, we are able to bring the part-time staff, which is Nick Del Deegan, Zach Price, Garrett Grant, and Susan Madera, back up to 100% of their full wages, which is a huge celebration and definitely something we want to celebrate. On top of that, we're not at a place now yet to bring the full-time pastors, Jeff and I, back up to 100%, though we were able to bring us to about 85% around that. And so there's still more to go. We're not in a place yet to increase basically our support of some of our missionaries, which also took a cut during that season. But it's a movement, it's a direction that we're going. God is continuing to bless and provide the finances, and that's largely because of you. And as a community, we're overcoming together, and that's something worth celebrating. And so this is a huge victory, and I hope you guys feel that, but there's still more to come. And so what I want to do is I want to invite the worship team up, and I want to just close in prayer, if you guys would just join me. Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are. God, we thank you for the way that you have provided. And God, I thank you for the way that that provision has come. Lord, moving in our hearts as members of this church, as the body of Christ, to continue to give and trust you with our finances. And so, Lord, God, I pray that you would give us, that you would bless each of us with the ability to give more. God, would you move in our hearts to support what you're doing? And Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that we get to come together as a community, to celebrate together, to be on mission together, and to overcome challenges together. God, I thank you for the community of adventure. It truly is authentic and real, and something that's very dear to my heart. So Jesus, we just give you praise and glory as we worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen.